Today's shiur is Masechta Sanhedrin Daf Lamed. We will begin on Daf Chaf Tes Amud Beis, the last line. To quickly review, at the end of the previous shiur, we learned the halachas that if somebody admits to someone else that he owes him money, under what circumstances can the edim who heard that admission commit that to writing, and when can they not? The Gemara differentiated between if it was an admission in front of edim versus if it was an admission in front of a Beis Din. The Gemara differentiated if it was karka or metaltlin. The Gemara pointed out there's a nafkamina if there was a kinyan or not. And the last piece of Gemara that we learned in the previous year was a din of Reish Lakish, where Reish Lakish taught us that if Adam wrote a shtar adisa, if Adam signed a shtar adisa, we can assume that it was done properly. Because as Reish Lakish taught us, Adam who signed on a document do it correctly. Our Gemara begins with the following scenario. Hahi Adisa Dava Kasabai Dichrint is Gami. The Adisa was written in the form, the document of admission was written in a form that it's a recording of words, which is another way of saying that it was written by a Beis Din. V'chol Lishn D'Beis Dina, the entire document was written as if it was written by a Beis Din, not by Edim. However, V'lo Yahava Kasaba, but there were only two people signed to this document, which under normal circumstances, the fact that under the document was written by two dayanim of the three does not automatically disqualify the document. Because as we've learned in Masechet Ksubos, that if a court procedure took place with the required three dayanim, but by the time it came to sign this document, one of the dayanim was no longer here. He passed away. He became incapacitated. The halacha is that the document should say b'mois of t'losa havina v'chad lasohi. And therefore, if that would be the case, where the language of the document was a language that indicated that it was written by three of dayanim, and that there were three dayanim, but there were only two signed because one passed away, the document would be perfectly fine. Here, however, it doesn't have these words in the document, of b'mois of t'losa havina v'chad lasohi. So now we have to think and question, is the document problematic? Is the or not? Do we assume, we can't automatically, as the Rishonim point out, assume that Reish Lakish's ruling that a document is written properly applies here, because we see an inherent problem with this document, and we need to be concerned that perhaps it was only written with two edim, with two dayanim, and a document with two dayanim is in a void. Says the Gemara, Savina Ravina Maima, Hand Reish Lakish. Ravina thought that this is the case of Reish Lakish, that we see a document, we assume it's good. Amalei Rav Nosson Bar Avami, Hocha Mir Mishmei De Rova, Kol Kai Gavna, in any such situation, Chashin El Bezden Toyin. We need to be concerned that the document was only written with two dayanim, which would make it invalid. Amar Rav Nachma Yitzchak, I Kosu Beidina, if the document has the words Beidina, so obviously, a Beis Din is three dayanim, and therefore sulay tzarech, there is no reason to be concerned. Ask the Gemara, why? Because it has the words Beidina. Are we quick to assume that it's a kosher document? V'dilma Beis Din chatzafu. Maybe the Beis Din that wrote it is a Beis Din of two dayanim. Dom Shmuel, as Shmuel said, shneim shadonu the name din. If two dayanim undertake a din Torah, they're considered a Beis Din, al shenikra Beis Din chatzuf. As the way Rishonim explained the Gemara, Tosfos and other Rishonim, the Gemara is a little difficult to understand. The Gemara is concerned that they use the word Bezdin, but sometimes the word Bezdin can be used for two Dayanim. But if Bezdin, because Shmuel says that two Dayanim are considered a Bezdin, they're considered a Bezdin Chatzif. But we have, automatically have a question. Shmuel's psak is that a Bezdin Chatzif is b'di'evid a valid Bezdin. So here, yes, we will be concerned that it was written by two Dayanim. And the two Dayanim are called the Bezdin because Shmuel says the Bezdin is considered a Bezdin Chatzif. But according to Shmuel, a Bezdin Chatzif is a perfectly fine Bezdin. So the way that we shine him answer that question is that they say that even though Shmuel is of the opinion that it's considered a Bezdin, just a Bezdin Chatzif, and by the Evid, their Piskei Halacha are fine, that is in all areas of Halacha. But in this situation, everybody would be agreeable that you need a full-fledged Bezdin to be able to record such an obligation. And if you don't have a Bezdin of three, you cannot record such an obligation. Says the Gemara, the Kasabei, it doesn't just say the word Bezdin in it, rather the Kasabei Beidin is Rabbana Ashi. That it was the Bezdin of Rav Ashi. Rav Ashi was the Gol Hadar. And presumably, Rav Ashi would have made sure that it should have three Dayanim. Ask the Gemara, V'dilm Rabbana Debei Rav Ashi K'shmu Sri'luhu. Maybe they hold, like Shmu, that even two Dayanim could be a court. And as I just said a moment ago, even though throughout Halacha that would be acceptable, here the Gemara is assuming that you cannot rely on such a court for such a shtar udaisa. Answers the Gemara, the ksibah of Amalon Rav Ashi. Rav Ashi was personally involved in this case. And since Rav Ashi was personally involved in the case and gave the instructions, We could safely assume that Rav Ashi gave instructions to have the proper amount of Dayanim, which means to have the three Dayanim. Taner Rabbonim, says the Gemara, Braisa, Amalhen Echad, if somebody approaches the sons of someone who passed away and says to him, Ani Ra'isi Avichem, Shitten Maas B'Sheda Taiva Migdal, that I saw your father put money in a box. However, when he put the money in that box, he said, Shaplonihain, this money belongs to this individual, or Shamais Shanihain. Or he made a statement that this money is my Shani money. Daloch is the bias, if he said the place where the box was in the house, so he doesn't have access to the box, Loyamaklum, we don't accept his statement. However, if he said the money was hidden, the sod in the field, Dvarim Kayamim, because he has a migui, he could have always gotten the money himself. And therefore the Gemara summarizes, Klala Shaldova, Kosh B'yada Litlon, if he could have had independent access to that money, and therefore Dvarim Kayamim, we believe what he said. However, if Ein B'yada Litlon, if he doesn't have independent access to that money, so he doesn't have a migui, they could have always said, I could have taken the money myself, believe me when I say it. Therefore the halach is Klum, that what he said is meaningless. The Rishonim ask, we just learned in the previous year that there's a concept, Adam Osui Lazbiyaz Bonov. The person sometimes says that he has the money that is really his is not his, so his children or others should not think that he's wealthy. So why don't we say that even if the father said this, the only reason he said it is because he didn't want that his children or others should think that they're wealthy. So then the Muki Yosef answers that since he said it in front of Edom, and he said it in front of Edom, where Edom, as we just learned, could have gotten access to this money, that is a proof that what he was saying was true. Otherwise, he would have never has said it and taken the risk of having lost his money. Others say that the concept of Adam Asur Lasbiyas Bonov is only said when a person is addressing somebody who comes to him as if with a claim that he owes money. Here, the father said it independently, so we don't say the concept of Adam Asur Shloi Lasbinov as Bonov. Or, as we're going to learn in a moment, the Gemara differentiates between situations where it's obvious what the father said was the truth. It wasn't that he just saying to get his children not to believe that they're wealthy. And under those circumstances, we don't say the concept of Adam Asui Shloi Lasbiya Esbonov. Another question that Tosfos asks is, why doesn't this person who makes this claim have a migui? He could have said migui dibay shosik. If he would have remained silent, then the person would have never, the children would have never have become aware that the father had this money, and therefore he should be believed when he says that this money belongs to Maisa Sheni or belongs to someone else. Tosfos is a very short Tosfos. It's a beautiful Tosfos, and the way the Aruch Haner explains Tosfos Teretz is as follows. He says, in this statement that this individual is coming to make, that the father had this money, but the money belonged to someone else, or belonged to Maisa Sheni, there are two goals, there are two parts to the statement. One part of the statement is that the money is not theirs. Another part of the statement is that the money belongs to someone else. So absolutely, if Boy Shosik, if this person would have remained silent, the children would have never become aware of this money, and therefore that the migui would accomplish. But if he would remain silent, the Maisa Sheni or the other person who he claims is the owner of the money would have also never have received the money. To be considered a valid migui, it has to be a migui that everything the migui is supposed to accomplish, it accomplishes. Here it doesn't accomplish everything it's supposed to accomplish, and therefore it's not considered a valid migui. But then the Rishonim ask another question. We know that there's a rule, Eid Echod Neman B'Yisurim, and Maisa Sheni is Isser. So if this person is coming along and saying that this produce, money, that is put away is Maisa Sheni money, why isn't he believed because of Eid Echod Neman B'Yisurim? So the Ramban answers that this is not a pure situation of Isser. The Isser is only when there's no financial aspect to it, if somebody's kosher or treif. Here, it's a question of dinei mamonos. Is this money belong to them, or does money belong to Maisa Sheni? So it's considered like dinei mamonos requires two edim. The Meiri says a very big chiddush. The Meiri says that Eid Echod Neman B'Yisurim is only said to make something mutter. But to make something usur, we don't say Eid Echod Neman B'Yisurim. Others say that there's a chazakah on money, that the money belongs to the children, and therefore, keneged a chazakah, we don't rely on Eid Echod. Continues the Gemara, continues the Braisa, Harei Shiroas Avim Shehitman Manis. If the children saw that the father put the money away in a Sheda Teva Migdol, and the father, when he put this money away, said this money belongs to someone else, or he said Shemaisi Sheinihem, Imkemaiser, if when he said it, it seemed like he was giving them instructions, Devarim Kayomim, Dalach is that the money is to be disposed of as the father said. But if it looks like the father really was just trying to deceive them, then the halach is like lama klum, and we don't have to take this into consideration. Tells us the Braisa, third trace. Somebody knew that his father had left over money, but he didn't know the whereabouts of that money. And in a dream, he had a dream that told him, this is the amount of money your father left. And it was left in the following place. But the dream also said that this money is Maisa Sheni. Says the Gemara Zayi Maisa. Such an incident took place. Vamru and Chazal said there are Rishonim that indicate that this entire concern, this entire Gemara, that we don't take the dream into consideration, is only specifically in the case that our Gemara is discussing, where this person was thinking about the money all day. And because he was thinking about the money all day, he dreamt about it at night. But in a case where he wasn't thinking about the money all day, and then he just had a dream, he perhaps has to take that dream into consideration and treat the money like Ma'aseh Sheni. But in explaining our Gemara, the Me'iri says we're not concerned that the money is Ma'aseh Sheni money, because the Me'iri explains it on a very simple basis. Ein chaloyim b'loy dvarim b'talim. Every dream has in it something that's incorrect, and therefore we have to consider that perhaps you know what's the dvarim b'talim in this chaloyim. And the dvarim b'talim in this chaloyim is the fact that it has, that the money is ma'aseh sheni. The Tashbatz has a very interesting way of looking at this entire concept of dreams. The Tashbatz says that there are two sources from where dreams come from. There are sources, there's a dreams that come from Malachim, and there are dreams that come from Shadim. And whenever somebody has a dream, he needs to be concerned where the dream came from. And therefore, says the Tashbatz, if Chas V'Sholem somebody had a dream that he was put into Chayrim, the halacha is he has to take that dream seriously and have that Chayrim removed. If somebody has a dream that he made a neder, again, we need to be concerned that perhaps that is a dream coming from the Malachim, and he has to follow that neder or have the neder annulled. Up to the point that I saw some Paiskim suggest, we learned the Gemara, it's a Pasuk in the Torah, that a husband has a right to be mefer, to annul the nedarim of his wife. That if a wife has a dream, she makes a neder in a dream, that neder may be such a serious neder that the regular din, that a husband has a right to be made for the neder of a wife, will not apply then. But in this situation, where we're dealing with a monetary question, and there's a rule of Hamoitzi Mechaveira Olav Haraya, and we have a Shaila, from where did this dream come? Did it come from the Malachim? Did it come from the Shadim? Therefore, because of the concept of Moitz Mechaveira Olav Haraya, we leave the money where it is. The Steichemid has a very interesting approach. He says, as we said earlier, every dream has some inaccuracies. And therefore, in our case, where there was a dream, and the dream said that the money was Ma'aseh Sheni, there are two reasons to not to be concerned about it. Number one, we have a roiv. Roiv money is not Eschulin, not Ma'aseh Sheni. Furthermore, as we explained earlier, since the other details of the dream prove to be correct, so therefore, as we said earlier, Ein Chaloyim B'loy Dvarim B'Talim, and therefore we have to assume that this point, that it's Ma'aseh Sheni, is incorrect. However, when somebody has a Chaloyim, they was placed into Chayrim, so we don't have these two reasons, we don't have all these reasons pointing not to be concerned, and therefore he should be concerned about it and treat himself as if he was in Chayrim. We learned in the Mishnah, Shnayim Omrim Zakai. If two people said he's not liable, one says he is, or vice versa, we follow the roif. Ask the Gemara Michtav Hechik Tivi. When the Dayanim write their verdict, how is it written? And as the Me'iri frames the Gemara, the Me'iri says, certainly if they weren't asked to write a psak, they don't have to write a psak. Our Gemara is referring to a situation where they were specifically asked to write a psak, and therefore they have to follow that. So the Gemara says, how is the psak written in a situation where they didn't all agree? Rabbi Yochanan Amar Zakkai. Rabbi Yochanan says that it's written that if the majority said he's innocent, it says innocent, or vice versa. Rish Lakish Amar. Rish Lakish says the way it's written is Pliny Pliny Mezakin or Pliny Pliny Mechayvin. The following people said he's guilty, and the following people said he's innocent. And of course, as soon as we hear this, we asked the question, we learned in the Mishnah yesterday, that we're not supposed to mention who said you're innocent and who said you're guilty. It's a situation of Leiselech Rachel. So here, how can we mention who's guilty and who's innocent? So the Rishonim give a number of answers. One answer is that the Mishnah is referring to a situation where there was no request that the psak be recorded. In a situation where there was no request that the psak be recorded, the halacha is that the judge on his own cannot go and volunteer the information. Here, when the psak has to be written, so it has to be written accurately. Another pshat that I saw is as follows. What the Mishnah means is the following. Where there was a dayan who originally felt that this person was innocent, but then he heard his other colleagues say he was guilty, and he agreed. That's what a dayan is now allowed to report to one of the litigants. But in a situation where a dayan always held that he's innocent, always held that he was guilty, that he is allowed to say over to someone else. Rabbi Lazar has a third opinion. Rabbi Lazar Eimer, what we write is, midivreim and nizdaka ploini. From the wording of what, from the deliberation, this person came innocent. Ask the Marmai Benayu, what is the basis of this machloikus? Says the Marmai Benayu, the nafkamina is, l'shlumi iyim mantz bahadayu. As we're going to learn later in our Masechta, there are situations where the Bezdin makes a mistake, and they have to reimburse, they have to make restitution for their mistake. And the question is, let's say the Bezdin is a group of three people, and the wrong psak was made, but it was made because of two people, not because of the third. The third was never agreeable to the wrong psak. The question is, will that third member have to join in paying the restitution? The mandomer, according to the first mandomer, that makes a blanket statement that zakai, that we say innocent or guilty, mishalom. Even the one who wasn't ready to, even the one who didn't make a mistake, would have to participate as a member of Bezdin in paying. Well, the mandomer, however, according to the opinion that we clearly spell out, plenty, plenty, zakin, plenty, plenty, mchaivin, only those that made the mistake have to pay. The other ones, loy mishalom, do not have to pay. What will be Rabbi Lazar, the third opinion? The Gemara doesn't explain Rabbi Lazar's opinion. What will Rabbi Lazar's opinion be? He agrees with Rabbi Yochanan that even the one who didn't make the mistake will have to pay, and therefore we don't specify him in the written verdict, but we don't say it explicitly, like Rabbi Yochanan said, because according to Rabbi Lazar, it's not 100% honest. The word zakai would seem to mean that everybody agreed, and that is not true, because not everybody agreed. Ask the Gemara, Ulaman d'Omer, according to the opinion that says that if a blanket statement is made, that everybody has to participate in paying if a mistake was made, why should this dayan who didn't make a mistake have to participate? Why can't he say lemlu ila di tsaisun? Had you paid attention to my opinion, atanami lo shlimton, you too would not have to pay. So I shouldn't have to suffer. It's bad enough that you made a mistake. Why should I have to participate? So the Gemara says elik benayu. The nafkamina is in the following situation: l'shlumi inu months of the day. Will the two dayanim have to pay the part, the share of the third dayan? The mandomer, according to mandomer, that the sack is written as a blanket statement, zakei mishalmi, they'll have to pay not only their share, but also the share of the third dayan. The mandomer, plenty, plenty, zakin, or plenty, plenty, mechayvin, they have to pay their share, but they don't have to pay, le mishalmi, they don't have to pay his share. Ask the Gemara, according to the approach that we just said, that if it was said zakai, if there was a blanket statement, mishalmi, they have to even pay his share, vilemrele, but why should they have to pay his share? Ilav at the hadon, lav asakadini midi. Yes, you disagreed with us. But if you had not been here, this dintara would have never been a dintara. As we went to the beginning of the shir, you need to have three dayanim. So why should we have to pay your share? And because of these questions, the Gemara moves away from this question. And the Gemara said, the psak of the Gemara, according to everybody, will be that the Yodim who made a mistake have to pay for their mistake. The Dayan who didn't make a mistake doesn't have to pay for his mistake. And furthermore, the Yodim do not have to pay the shear of the third Dayan who disagreed with them. So we're back to where we started. What is the Nafka Mina? El Ikka Benayu, what is the Nafka Mina between these three Pshatim? Mishum Loi Selach Rochab Amecha. Is this considered a situation of Rechilus? Rav Yochanan Amar Zakkai, Rav Yochanan says the statement should be made very broadly, because if it's not made broadly, it's going to be Mishum Loi Selach Rochab. There should be no question of Rechilus. There's a situation that anything else looks like sheker, and even though we're concerned about rechilus, we're more concerned about sheker than we are about rechilus. He has both considerations. Therefore, the following should be written, which clearly implies that it wasn't a unanimous ruling. But on the other hand, it also doesn't tell us who held what. And from here, the Chafetz Chaim says that we see that Rechilus even applies by writing, because here we're talking about writing a psak, not just saying a psak. Continues the Gemara. Gemara said, the Mishnah said, when they finished the deliberation, they would bring somebody in. Now the Gemara focuses, who exactly did they bring in? Laman, exactly who did they bring in? Ilam lebaladinim, if you're going to say they brought in the baladinim, ask the Gemara, hasam kaimi, that the baladinim were there all along, so how can we say that they're going to be bring back on? Now, ask the Rishonim, we learned that the baladinim are not supposed to be in the room when the court deliberates. So how could the Gemara suggest that they were there the whole time? So the Ran, because of this question, says that the baladin, according to the Gemara at this point, were in the room, but they were put into a corner into the room where they didn't hear exactly everything what was going on in the deliberation. Says the Gemara Edom. What Mara is learning now is that the Edom, Each aid said his testimony and was questioned on his testimony. And after he was questioned on his testimony, now there's a din that the two aidim have to say the testimony together. So before the psak din is given, they're brought into the room. Says the Markman, according to whom is this? The like Rav Nosson. This is not consistent with the opinion of Rav Nosson. The Tanya, Loilam Ein Adusim Mitztarefes. Two Adam's testimony are not combined until they both see the same single event. Rav Shubha Karchaimer, the other hand holds, and Philip Zachazah. And we'll discuss this more in the coming shurim. Furthermore, the Adis is not considered a valid testimony unless they both testify together. Rav Nosamer, Shamed Varav Shalzah Hayoim. We hear one testimony today, and tomorrow we can hear the next person's testimony. Our mission that says that we bring him back is not the opinion of Rav Nosson, rather it's the opinion of his Bar Plukta that says you have to hear it together. Says Marloi, Loyal and Baladinim. We say that the mission is referring to the Baladinim. And our mission is found the opinion of that they are taken out of the room for the deliberations. We don't want them in the room even in a corner. We don't want them in the room in the corner, in order they should not come to Chas V'Shalom, hear the deliberation and come to hate the judge, the paskin against them. Or we're concerned that the judges will be careful not to say what they really want to say, out of concern that the baladin will hear. The Tanya, as what the meaning of the Nekiya Das of Yerushalayim was Machnisa Baladin Vishayim Devrayim. We first bring in the litigants and hear what they have to say. Machnisa Stadim, then we bring in the Adim Vishayim Devrayim and we hear what they have to say. And then Matzina Yisrael Chutz, we take everybody out. V'nois and nois and bedover, and Bezdin deliberates. Ask the Gemara for Tanya, isn't there a brice that says, Gomorrah Sadover Machnisim Sa'edim, that when they finish deliberating, they bring back the Edim to testify together? Answers the Gemara, Ahi, that brice clearly does not follow the opinion of Rav Nosson that doesn't require the Edim to say the testimony together. So the Gra and the Ein Eliyo asked the following question. Rav Nechaim is telling us a halacha, which he's really saying is pshat in the Mishnah, that the litigants are not supposed to be in the room during the deliberation of the Dayanim. But then Rav Nechaim says, it was the Nekiyai Hadas that act that way. Isn't this applied to everybody? So the Gra explains as follows. There are two reasons. There's the reason, as we explained earlier, why the litigants should not be in the room during the litigation, during the deliberation, I mean, is because we're concerned that it'll influence the Dayanim. Because they'll hate the Dayanim who paskin against them. But here we're referring to the Nekiyai Hadas Shem Yerushalayim. Honest people. People who are ready to accept the Psak of Beis Din no matter what. So we would think they could stay in the room for deliberation. Teaches us the Gemara that even such individuals would leave the room during the deliberation. Continues the Gemara, Gufa. Now the Gemara goes into the machloikis of that we discussed before. Loyalim ain't edusim mitzterefes. Their testimony cannot be combined. Achi yirushneim kechon. Until both testify, testimony, edim see the event together. Rishu Bekarcha disagrees, and he says, afil b'zachazeh. Even not together. Ask the Gemara, Mike and Mefagi. Ibai say makra, Ibai say misvara. We could say the basis of this machloikis is a pasuk or a svara. Ibais emesvara, that the opinion of Tanakam is, Amana the Kamasar Hai, the Kamasar Hai. They're not talking about the same event. Amana the Kamasar Hai, the Kamasar Hai, Amana the Kamasar Hai, the Kamasar Hai, and therefore they don't combine. Vidach, Rav Shuman Karch's opinion, however, is, Amana Ba'alma Tavai Kamasadi. They're both saying that this person owes the other person money. And therefore, since they both say that this person owes the other person money, their testimony can combine. Because, as the Rishonim explained, the Tanna Kamma holds that purpose of Edom are to report an event. And if they're not speaking about the same event, they can't combine as Edom. Whereas the Rishu Ben Karcha holds the purpose of Edom is to report a fact. And here we have a fact that the money is owed. Mibay say makra. We could also say that the basis of the machlokes is a pasuk. Tiksiv vu'ed ora ayada. This pasuk is a pasuk regarding shvuas ha'edim, where edim were approached that they know edis. They falsely swore that they don't, and then they admit that they do. They have to bring a carbon shvuah. So the pasuk says v'tanya. The Bryce explains that pasuk. Mashish nema lo yakum ed. One any day shu echot, ma tamalim echot, zeb bnei of, kam makom shnemer eid, wherever the Torah uses the word eid, harei kan shnayim, achi farlo to kasa echot. Whenever the Torah uses the word eid, even though it's a lashon yachid, it means two eidim, unless the Torah uses the words eid echot. V'af grechmona b'lashon chad, why does the Torah use the word eid, a lashon yachid, to speak about two Edim, Lameima, add the Chazit Tavayu Kechad. To teach us that not Edim, they're not considered valid Edim, only if they see it together. Otherwise, they're not valid Edim. Idach, who Eid, who Ra, Yoda, become Mokum. No matter how they know of the obligation, they're Chayiv. So, what does this Pasuk, so according to Rishu Ben Karcha, what does the Limud of Eid come to teach us? So the Rishonim explain, he comes to explain the following case. In a case where one aide agreed to say testimony, and now the other aide was asked to say testimony, and he says he doesn't know the aide is. So now, even though he's only one aide, but he's like two aidim, because the first aide was prepared to say testimony. And therefore, in such a case, if the second aide swears falsely that he doesn't know testimony, he will be considered he will be chayiv a carbon shvuah. we learned another machlokes that ein edus miskayemes bebezdin, that the edus is not considered a valid edus ad sheyidu shneim kechad. That is the opinion of the Talmud, of the Tana Kama. Rav Nosa Omer shem dvarav shazeh hayoyim k'shiyav achaver al machas shem dvarav. They don't have to say testimony together. Again, asked the Gemara, Mike Mifki, what is the basis of their machlokes? Iba is a mesfora, and Iba is a makra. Iba is a mesfora, ma'asava eid echad kios l'shuasi. And one eid really only comes to be mechayev v'shuah, because we know an eid echad doesn't have the ability to obligate somebody to pay. L'mamayah lo'yasi, he doesn't come to impose a monetary obligation. So since when the first eid comes, he's only coming for Shvua. Therefore, if he doesn't come together with the other aid, he doesn't combine. Vidach, Otuk Asbahada Dodi, Bechad Pumukamasadi. And if they come at the same time, do they say testimony out of one mouth? El Mitzarfinule. We combine the two aidim. So it makes no difference if we combine them, if they come at the same time, or we combine them, Hachnamu Tzafunu, if they come in totally different times. I saw from Eli Chazan that explains that given that the Gemara gives this svara is only applicable by Dine Mominus, and therefore he says by Dine Nefashis, everybody will agree that the two Edom have to come together. Furthermore, he wants to suggest that even by Dine Mominus, the Tanakama, who says that they have to come together, may be a little more lenient by Dine Mominus than by Dina Nefashis. And by Dina Nefashis, perhaps the halacha would be that the two Edom have to say their Edus toich kdei dibur of each other's testimony, which would not be the din by Dina Mamnis. Bibai Seima, another way of explaining this machlokes is kra. It's around the pasuk. The pasuk says, the pasuk that we spoke about before about Edom, im lo yagid v'nosa avonin. With the kul alma, everybody is in agreement. We are born in the Pligi Rebbe to Bishua ben Gamliel. That everybody agrees with Rabbanan, who argued Rebbe Shua ben Karcha. And everybody agrees that the two Edom have to testify to the same event. The question here is, do we compare the halacha of saying the testimony to seeing the testimony? The Tanakama holds, Ma'asobeg Mekshin HaGodlariya. Just like the two Edom have to see the same event, they have to testify together also. On Masover, the testifying and the seeing are two separate concepts, and one is not similar to the other. It says the Gemara, Rishim ben Eliyakim have mishtakalev Rabbi Yosef ben Chanina l'mesvachim. Rishim ben Eliyakim was very anxious for Rabbi Yosef ben Chanina to get smicha. V'lo yakam estayim milsa, but he wasn't successful. One day Rav Shimon Yochanan was sitting in front of Rav Yochanan, Amu, and Rav Yochanan said to his Talmidim, Mika the Yoda, is anyone here aware of Allah Rav Shimon Karcha Eloi? If the Allah is like Rav Shimon Karcha or not? Amulei, Rav Shimon Yochanan, Din Yoda, Din Yoda. This individual, Rav Yosef Bechanina, knows the answer. Amulei, so Rabbi Yochanan said to Rabbi Shimon ben Yaakov, Leme Iza, if you know what the halach is, say it. Amalei, so Rabbi Shimon ben Yaakov said to Rabbi Yochanan, before he says, Lismachem Abereshe, first give him smicha, samche, and he gave him smicha. And the Farshim asked, why does he have to have smicha to be able to report if the halach is like Rabbi Shimon ben Karcha? So the Farshim answer, in order, when somebody says a psak, we want his psak to be accepted. And the way it's accepted, the more choshev, the more significant the person is, the more likely for his psak to be accepted. That's why they wanted him to get smicha. It would be more likely that his psak would be accepted. Samche, so Rabbi Yochanan gave him smicha. Amalei, and now Rabbi Yochanan asks Rabbi Yosef ben Chanina, B'ni emali keitzu shemata. Tell me, what is the halacha? Om lekach shemati. I heard Shemai de Rishu ben Kochel Reb Nosson. The Rishu ben Kochel agrees to Reb Nosson that the two Edim do not have to testify together. And since the halacha follows Reb Nosson, I'm assuming that now that Reb Shimon Karcha is in agreement with Reb Nosson, it follows Reb Shimon Karcha also. Amr lezeh tzrachti. I did not need to hear this. Hashta. Omai ikariya b'hadeh adodi. Even when they see Edis at the same time, Amr Bishua Bakarch Levikinon, Rishua Bakarch will say that it's not required, Hagodam Ibai. Certainly, if he doesn't need the Edim to see it together, he doesn't need to say it together. So therefore, you really haven't told me something that I didn't know. And therefore, Amalei, however, he said, Hoyel Volisa, once we gave you smicha, loy teirid, you should continue having the smicha. Amar Zera, shma min agav rabba, kiven this the mechsamach. The way most rishonim explain the gemara is as follows: that once a great person gave somebody smicha, unless there's a strong reason to have that ordination voided, it should not be voided. Another pshat is that it's not in the giver, it's in the receiver. That once a person got smicha, it's inappropriate to take away the smicha from him unless there's very strong reason to take away the smicha. And in fact, I saw the Shem Tzion and Balach explains that that's the reason, that's the reason that the halacha is that the smicha should be that a person who gets any position, a chazan, a rav, or a shaykhit, we should very reluctantly remove him from his position. Am Rav Chibar Oven Am Rav Halacha B'Shu Ben Karcha. The halacha follows B'Shu Ben Karcha. Bein B'Kakos and Bein B'Tautlin. B'Shu Ben Karcha said, B'Shu Ben Karcha said that that we don't have to have the two events seen at the same time, and he says the soul is halacha bein b'karka bein b'tatan. However, Ula says halacha k'rishua b'karka. The halacha k'rishua b'karka is b'kakos avloy b'tatan. Amar Abaya halacha. If we say that halacha follows k'rishua b'karka in regarding property, saying the halacha is like Rabbi Shimon Karcha, mechlal the pligi. That means that there are those that argue. Ask the Gemara of Amar Rav Abba, who know Amar Rav, Moed Mechamar Rabbi Shimon Karcha, Beidus Karcha. Everybody agrees when it comes to testimony regarding property. V'tani, Rabbi Abba, when the Zikin of Karna, Rabbi Abba taught us when the Zikin was learned in the Yeshiva of Karna, Moed Mechamar Rabbi Shimon Karcha, the Chom agreed to Rabbi Shimon Karcha, Beidus Bechor. Eidus Bechor, Mechloikus Rashi and Taisus. Rashi explains as follows. We know that a Bechor is the firstborn animal. And a Bechor is Kadosh. It's Kadosh until it gets a Mum. The halacha is that if the Kohen himself makes it into Baal Mum, that isn't considered a Baal Mum. The halacha is, like Rabbi Shimon Karcha, that two Edim that say that they know that this Kohen was not the one that made a mum in this Bechor, even though they're testifying to two different events, can combine. And that's how Rashi learns. Taisa says, Edus Bechor refers to the situation where two Edim testify that they heard that the father saying about his son, that the son is a Bechor. A third pshat I saw in the Rishonim is that the two Edom could testify that they heard that a Rav Paskin, that this mum in the animal is a mum that would make the animal no longer Kodesh. Uba Edus Karka, and also regarding property, the case that we're speaking about regarding proper ownership, where the case is that two Edom testify that this person admitted that this piece of property belongs to somebody else, since they're both testifying to the same thing, that the property based on his admission is not his, and therefore they're all both talking about the same property, everybody agrees. Or be'edus chazaka. Edus chazaka, as we discussed many times, is that if a person doesn't have a document proving that he owns a piece of property. We rely on a chazaka that he was on the property for 3 years. If 1/8 says that he was on the property, that's the way most Rishonim learned, on the first, second, and third year of the Shemitah cycle. And another 8 says that he was on the property of fourth, fifth, and sixth year of the Shemitah cycle. Those two Edom can combine. Ken Sheva Ben, Sheva Bas, we'll discuss soon. So here we see that everybody agrees that by Karka, they agree like Rabbi Shuman Karka. And here we're saying that the Machlokes says even by Karka. Answers the Gemara, Gavra Karamis. Ula holds that the Chacham argued Rabbi Shuman Karka even by Karka. Umasava, whereas Rabbi Abba, Rabbi Yidi Bar Oven hold that they do not argue in Karka, they only argue by Metalton. The Gemara just mentioned Ben Ubas, that there the two Edom can combine. What does that mean? If one Ed says that we know for a girl or a boy to be considered Gedolim, they have to have Shtei Saris, two hairs. So if one Ed says that I saw one hair on her back, and the other Ed said I saw it in the front, because you have to have two hairs, and each aid is only speaking about one hair. So they're talking about two different hairs, but each aid speaks about two hairs, they can combine. Says the Gemara, Amar Rav Yosef, I learned from Ula, the halacha is like Rav Shuman Karcha, that the two Edim can combine, bein b'kakos, bein metatlin. The Rabbanon, the Osam Mechuzah Amri, Amar Rav Zeir Mishmei D'Rav, b'kakos in, strictly b'kakos, do we follow the opinion of Rav Shuman Karcha, of Loi B'metatlin. Rav Otamei, Rav is, according to his psak, Dama Rav, Hodoach Hodoach, if an admission to a debt, follows another admission, or Haido Acha Halva, or admission following a loan, Mitztarfi. They can combine to make the person obligated to pay the debt. An Haido Acha Haido is a situation where the first aid testifies on Sunday, Reuven admitted that he owes Shimon money, and the second aid says that on Monday, Reuven admitted to the same obligation. Haido Acha Halva says that one aid says that Reuven borrowed money from Shimon on Sunday, and another aid says that on Monday Reuven admitted to owing Shimon money. And both of these cases, both aidim are referring to the same loan, and therefore they can combine. However, halva acha halva, the halva acha haida loy mitstarfi. A halva acha halva means that one eight says that he saw Reuven borrow money from Shimon on Sunday, and the next one says I saw him borrow money on Monday, and it says that on Sunday Reuven admitted owing Shimon money, and the other eight says that on Monday he saw Reuven borrow money from Shimon. Ashkecher Rav Nachman by Yitzchak Rav Huna Brei Rav Shua Omlei Mashna Chavo Chavo Deloy. Why in the case of Avo Achavo do you say they do not combine? Because we say the money to Kachazi High, like Kachazi High. We're assuming that these were two separate loans, and therefore each loan only has one aid. So why don't we say the same he asked by Hado Achado Nami? Say that money to Kamayde High, like Kamayde High. That each one is admitting to that each admission was to a different loan. Answers the Gemara that when Rav said that a haidor acha haidor they can combine was only in a specific situation. Dom lela haibasra, only in a case when the loiva tells the second aid, b'hai mana da'idei lo kamach, the money that I'm admitting today in front of you that I owe, oidolami kabe pligi, I already admitted yesterday in front of the other aid. So the second aid is aware of the first admission. Ask the Gemara, Akati, Basri Yada. The second aid is aware of the admission to the first aid. However, Kamala Yada, the first aid is not aware of the admission to the second aid. Answers the Gemara, the Hada Azul Omar al Kama, the lawyer goes back to the first aid and says to him, Hai money, the Oidele Kamach, the money that I admit in front of you that I owe, Oidele Namikam Plani, I've already admitted now to a second person, in front of a second person that I owe. Amalei. So Rav Nachman Yitzchak said to Rav Huna, Tanuch Tachta Shevnachtis Dati. I give you a bracha that you should have Menuchas HaNefesh because you brought me Menuchas HaNefesh. Amalei Ma'inachusa. What kind of resolution is this? The Rava, Vitaim Rav Sheshes, Shadab Anaga. He threw an axe. Lav Haino Haidoach Ava. Is this not the same of Ahoidor Achava? There too, in order for their testimonies to be combined, we have to say that the liver told the first aid that he admitted before the second aid, and he notified the second aid that he had borrowed the money before the first aid. So there's no difference between these two cases. So why does the Braisa have to both speak about a case? Why does the Gemara have to speak about both case of Haidor Acha Halva and Haidor Acha Haidor if they're both working with the same Mahalach, they're working with the same conditions and parameters? Amalei, Haina de Shmi Alecha. So Rav Huna said, this is what I heard about you. Rav Nachman says, back Rav Huna, Jermisa Dikli, the first you chop down trees and then you replant them. You first ask questions, answer them, and bring them back. Nadar, however, says, Ben Haidar Achaidar, whether it's a case of Haidar Achaidar, Ben Haidar Achaavar, Ben Havar Achaavar, Ben Havar Achaidar, in all these cases, the halach is the two Eidim Amitstarfis, command. Because we followed opinion on Rabbi Shua ben Karcha.